We welcome those of you listening to us in Wichita, Kansas.
Are you ready for some football?
Yeah. So, just to let you know, those of you listening in Wichita and the surrounding areas like Ark City, Kansas, where my mom and stepdad live, the way this works around here is football season basically never stops. And once football season really starts, which is tomorrow, because training camp is when it starts, you're going to get a lot of football talk around here. I hope that's okay with you. Because why? Well, Mahomes, that's why. And the Chiefs, I mean, it's the NFL.
How are you doing?
How are y'all doing?
That's right.
That is awesome.
That's right, Patrick Mahomes. I saw you out there at Children's Mercy Park at the Sporting Kansas City or the United States game against Canada the other day. I saw you out there. He's part of the World Cup bid committee, by the way. So we welcome you in Wichita. We hope you enjoy listening to us. And those of you in Kansas City, you guys already know the deal.
Appreciate you listening on 92.3 FM ESPN Wichita.
Pow.
Pow.
But Matt Derrick, did you know you're on multiple? You're on in multiple markets now, so you better bring
state.
It. You better step up your game, buddy.
I did know that. It's very exciting, very cool. Good morning, Wichita.
That's right. Actually, Matt Derrick was the first voice Wichita heard on this show.
Man.
As a guest.
How does that feel?
Well, I feel like it's cool being the answer to a trivia question.
That's right.
So now I feel like I'm finally the answer to a trivia question.
Yeah, I think more than one, really. What guest featured in Nate Bukati's Dream,
That's a good one, too.
Good is relative.
Is
there,
that good?
Matt.
Yeah, I don't know if that's good. Hey, but you know what I like? He brought the energy. He said, "Good morning, Wichita." See, there we go, and here we go. Camp starts up tomorrow. What's the schedule like? What's going on here with Chiefs in the first week, Matt Derrick?
Yeah, tomorrow we've got the rookies and the quarterbacks. Some of the guys were coming back from injuries reporting, so we'll get to hear from Patrick Mahomes tomorrow and a couple of the rookies. I think Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey are on the schedule. So, yeah, I mean, no actual football tomorrow, but at least we get to hear from some of the players. And then Saturday is when the practices start. Those are not open. The first three practices on Saturday, Sunday, Monday aren't open to the public. But you will get to hear about it, get the reports from all the media who are going to be out there. And those are just, it's just the quarterbacks and the rookies out there, so not a whole lot of action. But, hey, it's guys just getting acclimated. The veterans are going to report on Monday, so then you're going to start hearing from some of the bigger names. And we'll be an off day on Tuesday. But between outside of Tuesday, yeah, I mean, it's going to be nonstop football pretty much going on, here once training camp starts.
So one of my favorite parts of training camp the last few years has been when you go up there on the move-in days and all the media members were all kind of hanging out by the dorm, right, where the players are going to live for the next month or so. And some of them, it was like a red carpet thing almost. Anthony Sherman, the Sausage, always had made a big entrance. He always kind of found a creative way to be dressed or to be brought to the complex and everything. Is that now in the COVID world that part of the deal off the table for you guys this time around?
It is off the table. Yeah, the report day is going to be private, so no media is going to be allowed. The Chiefs are going to shoot it, so hey, they'll put their videos and some photos up. So, if any of the guys do want to get creative, yeah, you'll get to see at least a little bit of it. But yeah, not the same, and we won't get to see who is bringing in the most stuff and who has the biggest pillow and who's bringing their own comforter. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, some guys just walk in with a backpack and some clothes and everything, and then there's other guys who are hauling up a giant cart.
Right.
Pretty much their entire bedroom.
I feel like it was usually the veterans that realized how uncomfortable dorm life is that brought more amenities, as time goes on. But I wonder, because I think the last time I was up there for that day or around then was also getting to see, was it Bashaud Breeland the year before they signed him? walking in on his cell phone and pretending he was talking to somebody so he wouldn't have to talk to the media as he walked in that day?
That was the training camp when Bashaud Breeland wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
He showed up during the rookie period and was out on the field, and we're all like in the media tent, and like, is that Bashaud Breeland? It sure looks like Bashaud Breeland from here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there, and he's like hanging around all day long, and then we see him at the dorms hanging out and supposedly talking on the phone, and he's like hanging around. I mean, he seemed like he was going to be a member of the team. That was the year he ends up signing with Green Bay. But he was like 2 days in St. Joe and seemed to be everywhere.
And then he ends up winning a Super Bowl with the Chiefs, and now he's gone. And I'm wondering, we're going to get to, they've already made one move here recently. What position do we expect some positions where they'll have guys at that level of profile in to try to address things? Because that can still happen, right? Like while we're in camp, because that Bashaud Breeland thing happened in camp. Any position areas where you think we might see some guys like that, some relatively big names that are on campus for a day or two?
At this point, it would probably surprise me. I mean, and that speaks a little bit just about where the Chiefs are at a lot of positions, and cornerbacks surely being one of them. And when Bashaud Breeland came in to visit, I mean, the Chiefs were still in a spot where you could come in off the street and start at corner for the Chiefs. I mean, that's how Orlando Scandrick, you know, comes in and starts for the Chiefs in the middle of training camp. They're not in that spot right now. I mean, you know, hey, if you're a corner, and that's the one position that I think that the Chiefs would still like to add a body. But, I mean, if you're coming in as a cornerback right now to this roster, I don't think you're starting. I mean, I think the guys who would be coming in would be backup-level candidates. Hey, they're always going to be a little bit of roster turnover. I mean, there's going to be some guys coming in and out. But with Okafor being the addition now at defensive end, I think they're probably done for a little bit. I mean, unless there is a trade, and, you know, obviously once you get down to the waiver wire, that can be at the end of training camp and end of the preseason, things can happen. But I think that big names, I can't see it happening right now.
We're visiting with Matt Derrick. All right, let's talk about the Okafor situation. You mentioned it. Alex Okafor has been brought back at the defensive end position, and it happened right after Melvin Ingram decided to sign elsewhere. And the reports were that the Chiefs were interested, at least, in Ingram, even though he didn't go for a lot of money. It didn't work out for the Chiefs. I mean, boy, sitting back and looking at it, it looked to me like, the Chiefs might kick the tires on Ingram, see if they can work something out. If not, the fallback plan was Alex Okafor. Is that the way this thing played out?
It could be. I mean, it certainly, you know, timing-wise suggests that. I mean, the Chiefs were certainly interested in Ingram, but they had a price. And obviously, $4 million was not that price. And I think that was probably the right move. You know, there's a big difference between Okafor and Ingram in this sense. And that is that Okafor is 30 years old, and he's had some injury problems, but, you know, the last few years, you know, it's been a torn pec, I mean, a hamstring. I mean, those are manageable injuries. With Melvin Ingram, it's been a knee. That's what's been keeping him off the field. And knee injuries, those are problematic for NFL teams. So at 32 years old and bad knees, that's a big difference. And so I think, and especially if you look at the output the last couple of years, honestly, Okafor and Ingram have been very similar players. I mean, I think we attach a lot to that Melvin Ingram name because of the Pro Bowl history in the past. But, you know, with the injuries, they've really disconnected him from that. So I don't know that there is on the football field right now, without the names attached to it, a whole lot of difference between Okafor and Ingram. And obviously with Okafor, someone who's familiar with the system, the Chiefs like him, he loves Kansas City. He's a good person to have in that locker room. You know, he really gets along with everybody. He's a good leader. He works hard. I mean, for all those reasons, I mean, it seems like Okafor is a really good person for them to have in that locker room, especially when you got some young guys like Joshua Kando and Mike Dana who are going to be developing still.
How much do you think Alex Okafor will play this year?
I would be surprised if he plays as much as he did last year. You know, even at in the postseason, he wasn't the starter. I mean, Tano Passanio was starting in front of him. But they were playing about equal number of snaps. You know, Okafor was playing about half the snaps, had a bit of a deeper rotation. But now he's not expected to be playing behind a Tano Passanio. He's expected to be playing behind a Chris Jones and Frank Clark still. So I think that will change it a little bit. I think that the Chiefs would be more comfortable with that. You know, I mean, obviously, hey, he could end up not making the team. Maybe the injuries have taken a toll. Maybe there's another injury. Things can happen, but I would expect he makes the roster. But with what the Chiefs have added, especially too at that position, I think they would be much more comfortable with Okafor at this point in his career being a rotational piece that, you know, maybe plays 30, 40% of the snaps rather than 50% of the snaps.
We're visiting with Matt Derrick, and you mentioned a couple of young guys that will be worked into that rotation as well. How much of an opportunity do you think those guys have to try to make themselves a part of the rotation during this camp?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Chiefs would love to get a little bit of the play load off of Chris Jones and Frank Clark. I mean, those guys at times have played a lot of snaps, you know, upwards of even 80 to 90% of the snaps. With those, at those positions, that's a heavy workload. And I think they would like to back them off both just a little bit, just to keep them fresher at the end of a season, especially now when you got one more game. This is going to be a much longer season for these guys physically than it was a year ago. So I think they would like to try and find a way to back off the workload for both those guys, which means there is opportunities there. And, you know, with Joshua Kando, it certainly seems like early on, the, you know, what they're preparing him for is a specialist role. You know, somebody who can come in pass rush situations. Mike Dana is maybe the alternate, you know, guy who can alternate with Kando and maybe come in and you know, non-pass rush situations. Maybe be a little bit of a drop-back guy, you know, somebody who can do a little bit of everything. Taco Charlton's obviously going to fit in there too, so at that edge position. So, you know, the Chiefs and Brendan Daly and that defensive line really like to play a rotation. They would like for their rotation to go a little bit deeper this year. And at this point, I mean, it seems like they've got that. I mean, you know, I know there's going to be some concern that maybe they have a drop-off, you know, from their top two guys to number three. But, you know, they at least, I think, feel like they've got five or six guys that can definitely play and be a part of the rotation.
Okay, you're talking like you expect Frank Clark to play this year. And when we had Jeff Chedia on the show this week, he thinks there's going to be a lengthy suspension coming and that it could happen this year before all this stuff plays out because the NFL doesn't necessarily wait for all the stuff in the courts to play out. How much of a realistic possibility do you think that is, that Frank Clark is suspended at some point during this season?
I mean, my gut still says that it's probably going to be after the season because the NFL, I mean, they are inconsistent. They can go a lot of different directions. But, you know, a lot of times with suspensions, I mean, unless it's a high-profile marquee situation with violence attached to it, then it usually takes a little bit longer. And if the charges that Frank Clark had from the first incident that, you know, have obviously been filed, he's got a court date in October for that. You know, unless that comes to a resolution during the season, according to the NFL's own guidelines, as far as how they, you know, dispatch suspensions now, they should be waiting for the legal process to play out. I mean, they do not have to. There is a clause in their policy and in their flow chart of how they determine suspension that, you know, if they believe that, you know, beyond the preponderance of the evidence that, that Frank Clark would be convicted in a court, then yeah, they could go ahead and hand down the suspension once their investigation is complete. Now, you know, can their investigation be complete when they still have, you know, California is still investigating the second, you know, stop in June? That's a factor. The one thing that Frank Clark probably has going for him in this sense is that these are nonviolent situations. You know, a violent situation, a domestic abuse situation would fall into the commissioner's exempt category where the NFL could suspend him immediately and wouldn't have to wait until the investigation's complete. That doesn't seem to be on the table at this point. And if that's the case, then more than likely the NFL is going to wait until the process plays out. And if that's the case, then yeah, I would not expect him to have anything suspension-wise until the end of the season. The one other complicating factor to all of this could be that, you know, what does Frank Clark and his agent want? Because we know that, you know, based on the contract, it's built in with this three-year out clause. So it's very, very difficult to see Frank Clark playing in Kansas City under his current contract, which means he could be a free agent next season. If that's the case, you know, if you're Frank Clark and you're his agent, Would you rather take the hit this year and try and get the NFL to hand out any punishment this season rather than having to wait out and miss games next year when you're going to be a free agent and teams are going to have to factor that in? That could be a complicating factor. I mean, there's still a lot of moving parts, but all things being equal, if I had to bet on anything, I would think that Frank Clark is going to be available for all 17 games this year.
So are you suggesting there's a possibility that his agent would actually tell the NFL, hey, why don't you go ahead and suspend us this year?
To me, it would make a lot of sense. I mean, you know, especially if you think that the NFL is going to be handing out a 4-6 game suspension, because, you know, that can impact how things happen. I mean, look at even Bashaud Breeland. Bashaud Breeland, when he signed with the Chiefs that first time, he had the 4-game suspension hanging out there over him, which certainly impacted his value. I mean, that will absolutely cost you money.
I mean, I got to wonder if it's going to be more of a suspension than that for Frank Clark, because we're talking about, we haven't even seen what the second charges are going to be yet. Like, I just can't imagine the NFL is going to be cool with, yeah, you're facing felony charges and you've also been arrested since then for the exact same thing. Like, yeah. That doesn't sound good to me. And like you said, I understand you're saying it's not violent, but it involves a violent weapon. You know, like, it involves something that's going to make the NFL, I think, very uncomfortable. So that would be pretty fascinating. I'd like to hear what that phone conversation would be like. Hey, you want to go ahead and suspend us now? Just get it out of the way. And the NFL would be like, who is this? Why are you calling me? They're not going to, I mean, the NFL's not going to care what the agent says in that regard, are they? I mean,
That would certainly be a kind of a negotiating tactic. Now, the other thing to play into it, though, is that you have to think that with everything that's happened this year, that it would diminish Frank Clark's value in the open market next year, which means that actually, you know, they may want to make sure that he doesn't get suspended this year, because if he does, that's without pay. So those game checks this year are big checks. So, yeah, I mean, there's, like I said, there's so many moving parts to this. You know, the other thing that I'm sure will also be part of, you know, Frank Clark's argument with the NFL when it comes to the suspension is that, yeah, it's a felony, it's a serious crime, but it's also a crime that carries a much greater penalty in California than in other places. And, you know, the charges, the amount of, you know, potential jail time that you could face, this wouldn't be the same as if it was in Missouri. You know, I mean, it's a stiffer crime and penalty in California, and I think that certainly also would be part of the argument of the Frank Clark's team before the NFL.
That also brings up the fact that Frank Clark might need to worry more about the legal system than the NFL system right now, too, because he could go to jail for a significant amount of time. If we saw Plaxico Burress, I mean, you know, in New York, if he was in another place, it might not have been the same type of punishment, so that'll be interesting to see. Here you go. If you want to just stay on the football field with this situation and try to say something positive, the bigger issue for Frank Clark to me is he hadn't been playing that well. You know, if he wants a new contract, he's going to have to produce a hell of a lot better than he has for the Chiefs recently. And especially if there's a looming suspension out there. I mean, I think if a team looks at a guy that's worth 15 sacks, you know, or at least double-digit sacks in the regular season and is disruptive, they're going to be a lot more willing to, well, you know, yeah, there's a possible suspension coming up, but it's worth taking the risk because the guy's producing. If you ain't producing, they're really not going to pay for somebody that has that kind of... So he's got a big incentive to go out there and produce if and when he gets to play this year.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, once again, I mean, the contract season is usually undefeated. And this is a contract season for Frank Clark. And look back and see what he did in his last contract season during his last years at Seattle in 2018. Put up 13 sacks, had a fantastic year. You know, maybe we are in for that. We've seen it in Kansas City that Frank Clark can play big in big games. I mean, he's got, 11 sacks in the postseason in 10 games? We know that, you know, when the lights are on, when chips are on, you know, Frank Clark can play. So maybe we will end up seeing the best of Frank Clark this year, because you're right, during the regular season, for most of the last 2 years, outside of really that, I would say, that last 8-game stretch of 2019, we haven't seen the best of Frank Clark. And there's certainly been some reasons for that. He's had some injuries. He's had some physical issues. But this is the year to turn it on. And if the past is any indication, we could see a better Frank Clark this year.
Well, It's certainly going to be interesting, Matt Derrick, and we get football conversations started, and you get to talk to Patrick Mahomes and Nick Bolton tomorrow, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We appreciate the time, man. We'll be talking again next week.
Always looking forward to it, Nate. Take care, my friend.
All right, that is Matt Derrick, and we will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.